Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here at Blog Talk Radio with Columbo Chronicles Live, just for you, every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the west coast of the good old USA. And for all those in other states and countries, you'll have to look up the time slot. But I do want to thank all of the countries who do listen. And please continue to share. And thank you so much for tuning in to Columbo Chronicles every Wednesday evening with very prominent guests and authors and experts, and they have a wealth of information, and they also do self-help tips for you and also share their information and their stories with us, and we always learn from them. They are the authors and the experts. And tonight, speaking of authors and experts, we have both. Our guest is Dr. Carol Lieberman, and Dr. Carol Lieberman is an internationally renowned as the terrorist therapist, and she is a board-certified psychiatrist, and she was born and bred in New York, and she has dedicated her life since 9/11/2001. To helping families overcome their fears of the ultimate monster under the bed, terrorism. And tonight she's going to share her book with us in just a little while. It's entitled Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My! Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My! How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. And she's going to tell us why you need this book. And it's, of course, of interest to everyone in Western civilization and around the world. It is a major problem today, and it's something new to our country that we have to now educate our children and grandchildren on how to deal with terrorism. So this is going to be an exceptionally interesting evening with Dr. Carol Lieberman coming up in just a little bit. So just to start off with, let's check out and see what's happening around the country. And what is happening around the country affects every one of us, right? And to start off with, there's a new article out. It says Huma Abedin lied to the FBI and got away with it. Well, I think people are extremely upset because General Flynn made a statement that was, I would say, careless. Or maybe he didn't remember, in my opinion. But I don't believe it was all that serious. It didn't harm anyone. It didn't do any damage to our country. And he's a man who has served our nation and risked his life for our country. And yet he is being punished. Shame on our government. And also, we want to pray for all of the families whose homes are being destroyed by the wildfires in Los Angeles County. And it's very serious because people are being made homeless as I speak, and people are having to evacuate. In fact, 50,000 families have been evacuated. 150 homes have been destroyed, maybe more by now. And 12,000 homes are threatened. And the last I heard, 65,000 acres of land has been burned up. And just within the last few minutes or so, the news reports that the Los Angeles fires just destroyed Fox News owner Rupert Murdoch's home. So we're so sorry. We're so sorry for him, and we're so sorry for all the families who've lost their homes or whose homes are being threatened. God bless them and keep them in your prayers tonight. Very important thing to do. Also in the news, it says that Obama is blamed for Libyan slave trade as a shocking video just went viral. And what's interesting about the slave trade in Libya is that the United Nations and I think it's the United Nations who wants to send in foreign troops into the USA because they are giving us an ultimatum of paying reparation to the black Americans who were born on this soil and were never slaves, for the slaves that were brought into the USA over 100 and probably has been 150 years ago. So no one currently has ever been a slave. And so what's interesting about this is that these foreign entities, international entities, are always focusing on America. America's the big Satan. America's the evil country. America's the country that enslaved blacks way back when. Well, America is also the one country that freed the slaves and the one country that made a wrong right and the one country where black and white fought together to make that change. So we need to think about the positive side of what Americans have done. Even when they've done something wrong and the majority didn't agree with the people who were committing those wrongs, they stood up and fought back and stood with the black immigrants from Africa and helped free those slaves and risk their lives, and many died on the battlefields to free the slaves as well. But what's interesting is that the Middle East and Africa have had slaves since the beginning of their time. Since the beginning of their founding of their countries. And they have kidnapped different tribes of black Africans, and they have also enslaved black Africans. Egypt enslaved black Africans to build the pyramids, and they've tortured them, and they've killed them. And even today, they are kidnapping black Africans and auctioning them off, according to the news, over in Libya for $400 per slave. So no one points out the fact that in Africa and the Middle East, they have always enslaved black Africans, always kidnapped them, always tortured them, and always killed black Africans for whatever reason. And now they're auctioning them off over in Libya. And nobody's talking about this in these international bodies that are always focusing on America and requiring America to do specific things when they have no authority over America. We are a sovereign nation. And we are not part of the globalist agenda. Even though we have people who are pushing us in that direction, the majority of Americans are fighting back. They want their sovereignty back. They want their constitutional rights, freedoms, and liberties back. They want the rule of law back. We are not a democracy. We are a republic. And we are a nation of immigrants, but we are a nation of legal immigrants. And that's why our framers wrote the Constitution, so we would remain a civilized nation and we would know who our neighbors are. And everyone would be identified for the protection, the safety, the wealth, and the welfare of every legal American, every natural-born American, every legal naturalized American. So yes, we are a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of legal immigrants because we are a republic run by the rule of law. And so I think that's really important for Americans to remember that we are a nation whose roots and whose laws are rooted into the Bible, into the Ten Commandments, which are the universal laws for everyone. Violate any of the Ten Commandments, then you're in big trouble. So those are the examples and the commandments that we're supposed to follow. And there's only 10, but we can't follow 10. So I suppose God said, well, they probably can't follow 10, so they didn't write any more. The rest are written by men and women in the government. Millions and millions of laws. So anyway, I just wanted to make the point that please pray for all of the families who are losing their homes in Los Angeles and their homes are threatened. And please keep them in your prayers. And also remember that our country is a republic run by the rule of law. And on that note, we're going to take a break because we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And boy, do we have an author and an expert with us tonight, Dr. Carol Lieberman. Again, she's the internationally renowned as the terrorist therapist, and she is a board-certified psychiatrist. And she's a born and bred New Yorker. She has dedicated her life since 9/11/2001 to helping families overcome their fears of the ultimate monster under the bed, terrorism. She is not a therapist for terrorists, nor is she a terrorist. Dr. Carol was chief resident in psychiatry at NYU Bellevue, and she served for decades on the clinical faculty of UCLA's Neuropsychiatric Institute. She's a three-time Emmy-honored TV personality on top shows, radio talk show host, and best-selling author. And she's going to tell us why we need her wonderful book entitled Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My! How to Protect Your Child or Grandchild, for that fact, in a time of terror, which we all need to know. So we're going to be back in just a moment, so don't touch that dial.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Listening is an art. An art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because we're about to enter into the world of authors and experts with our very special guest, Dr. Carol Lieberman. And she's going to talk to us about her latest and wonderful topic and book. And it is entitled Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My. And it's how to protect your child in a time of terror, or your grandchild. So why don't we just get started, and let's say hello to Dr. Carol Lieberman. Hi, Dr. Carol. How are you this evening?
Well, other than the fact that I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop with the fires, just fine.
I hope you don't live close to that area.
Well, you know, in L.A., everyone, in a way, lives close to one of the fires. So, yes, there is one that I'm particularly worried about.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, we're going to keep you in prayer, too, because I've asked the audience to pray for everyone and hope those winds subside very quickly. Dr. Carol, you wrote a wonderful book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, and How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. And I wanted to ask you, why did you write this particular book?
Well, as you were mentioning earlier, since 9/11, I have devoted myself to helping families keep calm and carry on in the face of terror. And what that means is I started out by doing a hotline for people with terrorist stress soon after 9/11. Then I did audio and video programs for airlines that they played on their in-flight entertainment to calm passengers, you know, who had increased fear of flying, of course, and still do because of terrorism. And then I wrote a book, my first book, was called Coping with Terrorism, Dreams Interrupted, and it was published in London in 2006 for the one-year anniversary of 7/7, which was their 9/11. And now I have this book that just came out, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, it's the first and only book for kids about terrorism. And it's, you know, also for parents or grandparents and teachers. It's the first and only one for kids. And the first part of the book is for grown-ups. It tells grown-ups how to talk to kids about terrorism, how to answer the most frequently asked questions that kids have about terrorism, how to notice psychological issues that kids are having as a reaction to terrorism, 88 things that families can do to build resilience in children and in the rest of the family, you know, in the parents as well. And then the second half of the book is actually a picture book for the children. So in other words, the grown-up reads the grown-up part and then shares the children's book with the child. And it, you know, it doesn't pussyfoot. It answers you know, the questions, what is a terrorist, how do you feel, there are interactive activities for kids to express how they're feeling. You know, the reason why I wrote this, well, it's part of my whole, you know, what I'm devoted to do to helping families, but I feel that there is an incredible amount of denial amongst American adults. And as far as whether terrorism exists, whether another 9/11 could happen or something similar, even though, of course, there have been, you know, not quite as bad as 9/11, but Orlando and the Boston Marathon and San Bernardino and so on. But there's still this sense that grown-ups in America, on the one hand, every day we hear something about terrorism in the news, but that stays at one level in their mind, and then they bury that, you know, sort of push that into the unconscious, and so it's called cognitive dissonance. It's, you know, being aware on one level, yes, there, you know, we could all say whatever the news was that day about terrorism, but at the same time, they're sticking their head in the sand as far as what does this mean? And so for kids, it is particularly important not to be in denial in regard to kids that you care about, because these kids hear things in the news. You know, they see television, they see the news, they hear radio news, the internet they're on, of course, and yet parents or, you know, grown-ups want to pretend that they don't understand or they don't care or it's just going by them and we don't have to talk to them about it. And part of it is because grown-ups don't have the tools, don't quite know how to talk about it. But it's rather disturbing because kids really are aware, but they're given the message, no, don't ask us questions about this. We don't really want to talk about this. And so they're confused and they're anxious and they're depressed. And lots of other psychological feelings and emotions that could turn into problems if they're not addressed.
Well, exactly. That's so true. So you did say you're not a terrorist. I thought that was cute and funny. And but that. You're not a terrorist. I mean, not a terrorist. You're not a therapist for terrorists either. So that's very clear. But why do you call yourself a terrorist therapist?
Well, basically, I mean, I am a therapist as a psychiatrist, and you know, I deal with the subject of terrorism, and it's kind of an easier way for people to remember. And when there's a terrorist attack, you know, it's kind of like, who are you going to call? The terrorist therapist. So it's sort of a, you know, in the panic of attacks and the emotions, it's sort of an easy way for people to, you know, sort of know, what was her name again? I mean, I am fairly well known on television and radio, and I have my own show and all this kind of stuff, but you know, when we have a terror attack, all that kind of everything sort of goes out the window, and people are just scrambling.
Right. And speaking of your show, what is the name of your show so people can listen in?
Well, I've been doing this radio show for about 12 years now called Dr. Carol's Couch, and it's on Voice America. And I put all different kinds of things on my couch. You know, mostly things, current kinds of issues, sometimes authors who have written about obstacles that they've overcome, different kinds of topics like that. And then in line with my terrorist therapist work, I started it's been about a little over a year now, that I do a terrorist therapist show as a podcast and a terrorist therapist vlog, you know, with a V, video. Video blog as well. And there I just concentrate on whatever the top terrorism issues are of that week, you know, their weekly shows. So whatever is particularly significant during that week. So, for example, if there's been a terror attack that week, I put the terrorist on my couch to analyze him. Or if there is, you know, I've talked about issues like how the more general kinds of issues, like how the, you know, this whole thing that's been happening with the NFL with, you know, taking a knee and disrespecting the flag and disrespecting the national anthem. And did you know about this? That, you know, so there, I think that that's had a profound effect on making people... Uh-oh. Let me see what that emergency
attack is.
Yes, let me see what that is. One second here.
Okay. We're talking to Dr. Carol Lieberman, and she wrote the book Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My. And it's how to protect your children, your grandchildren in a time
it's
of terror.
An emergency alert of some sort.
I get those, too. I think they're practicing.
Yes, well, I think I just blew it by turning the by turning the phone on.
Speaking
before
of terrorists.
Reading the message. Oh, well, I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Everybody just got an example.
There we go.
Oh, that is so funny.
So I was saying about how, you know, this disrespect for the flag and the national anthem
right.
has caused people who would have wanted to sign up for the military to now think it's not cool to do that, you know, because here these NFL heroes, you know, these sports stars who the people who would sign up would be typically listening to, you know, and too many of them have shown all this disrespect. So it's kind of given the message, don't be patriotic. And so what has happened recently that I did a show on was about how the Army had decided, because they had this shortfall of people signing up, they were going to, until it became known, actually, they decided this in August, and then USA Today wrote about it, and so then they quickly backtracked, or backpedaled. But they were going to take in people with psychological problems, illnesses, from manic depressive illness, major depression, alcohol and drug abuse, self-harm, you know, cutting and doing all kinds of other self-harm activities, in order to try to make up for the lack of people who were signing up. So these are the kinds of, you know, so from really direct terror attacks or terrorists who were caught or you know, a current thing is there were some terrorists. London has foiled some terror attacks, and also they realized that they should have been able to prevent the attack on Ariana Grande's concert if they had been paying more attention to some of the intelligence that they had. They would have realized that that guy was on the watch list, but they weren't watching him very closely. So I talk about all of these things, obviously from a psychological perspective, and I try to sort of to make these things less frightening because of going into them in more depth in a psychological way so that everyone could kind of understand, like understanding why someone would become a terrorist or things like that. Because the bottom line is, that we have to recognize that these things exist in order to prepare ourselves, grown-ups and children. And that's, you know, getting back to the book, Lions and Tigers. You know, it's I also have in both the adult part where I mentioned I had 88 things that families can do to build resilience. In the children's picture book part, I also have 10 things that children can do to incorporate in their life. And I'm not talking about, like, run and duck and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about things like incorporating kindness, incorporating, you know, being kind to other people in your life, paying attention in school so that you can, you know, grow up to do something important that will help our country. You know, various things like that, as well as, of course, you know, having telephone numbers and plans to meet your family members and, you know, the whole nine yards. And the idea is that if parents, grandparents, teachers share this book with their kids, it will make them less frightened and more able to incorporate things that will build them up physically and psychologically, so that they can be more resilient to it. You know, it's kind of like you were mentioning at the beginning of the show about the fire. You know, it's kind of like, you know, they're saying, what is it? Get ready, ready, set, go. That's it.
Right.
You know, I mean, really, how many people are ready, set, go? I mean, we all sort of deny that it's ever going to affect us, and just even getting ready makes us nervous, right? So,
right.
And of course, now I think a lot of people, myself included, have the cars packed. But you know, until today, I'm not going to say that I really, you know, planned on ready, set, go. I mean, we these are scary things, and we do try to not think about them. But
well, you know, Dr. Carol, they do tell us. You know, the government tells us. Oh, you know, you can't say terrorism, you can't say this, you can't say that.
Yes.
They downplay it when, in fact, they're the ones who are causing a lot of the fear, I think, because they are not saying what it is and they
right.
are not doing what you're doing and teaching people that, hey, this is real, but there are steps you can take to empower yourself and your family and your children and your schools. And so I do appreciate you doing this because I see so much denial by the government. It's frightening to me that they're in denial because our lives are at stake, our children's lives are at stake, and we do need to be aware and how to be careful, right?
Well, I mean, when you're talking about I agree with you, but when you're talking about the government, that was the Obama government. I mean, fortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, we have a president now who is taking a stronger stance on terrorism. You know, he went to the Middle East and he had that big powwow, and you know, which was very brave, standing in a room of, I can't remember whether it was 45 people, something like that, from Middle Eastern countries, and talking about these things. And he, you know, says radical Islamist terrorists. So, you know, I think there's been a very positive change in terms of the government recognizing terrorism. But, you know, yes, it's not politically correct to say that. Now, in my book, I do say, you know, I say terrorists are called by many names, ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, Al-Qaeda, and I talk about radical Islamist terrorists, and I say how they are different from... here, let me see. I'll read it to you. Terrorists are called many names like ISIS, ISIL, Al-Qaeda, Daesh, or lone wolves. But whatever fancy names they like to call themselves, terrorists are simply bad guys and evildoers who use threats and violent surprise attacks to try to bully people. I compare terrorists to the bully on the playground. You know, that's how I first start out. What is a terrorist? A terrorist is like a big bully on the playground, because kids can relate to that. And then I have kids, there's a page where they should draw a picture of what they think a terrorist looks like. And then I get into the different names, and I have a picture of Osama bin Laden. And then there's a part, why are terrorists trying to hurt people? And here's where I talk about it. Some terrorists are called radical Islamists or radical Muslims. This means that they are not like most Muslims who are peaceful. Troubled terrorists are misinterpreting the Muslim holy book called the Quran in a way that gives them an excuse to kill, and so on. So, in other words, as I was saying before, I don't pussyfoot. you know, because kids, when kids see news programs of terror attacks, they're not seeing blondes in bikinis with suicide belts on. You know, they're seeing what we, the typical... or stereotypical, if you like, but, you know, they're seeing the people who are committing these attacks. So I have that, but it's a very balanced book. I talk about, you know, not teaching your child not to have Islamophobia, you know, to appreciate people for who they are, not how they look, and so on. So it is very balanced, but I do, you know, I do use the words radical Islamist terrorist. So, so it's been interesting. I launched the book at the New York Fire Museum and also at the National Press Club. And I've done some book festivals. And it's been an interesting reaction at the book festivals, you know, when the people come up to the booth and they, you know, they're attracted by the cover. It's got a nice cover, and so they say, and then the title, what, Lions and Tigers and Terrorism? What's this about? And so then I say, well, this is the first and only book about terrorism for kids. Terrorism for kids? it's like what? And so they do kind of a double take about it. But then when I flip through the book and show them, you know, all the different parts for the grown-ups and for the kids and the pictures and all of that, then they get it. And they say, you know, they recognize, yeah, I guess the time has come. I call it the birds and the bees talk for the 21st century because it's a talk that it's a fact of life, just like sex is a fact of life.
Yeah, and it's really sad that we have to do this, but we do have to do this now because, you know, we didn't have to do it in the past. We were pretty safe in our country, but that's not the reality today. And it's very important to talk about the reality without scaring the kids to death. So I think that's what you're doing, is balancing it out. So what do you think about the parents and the teachers? Do they find it difficult to talk to the kids about terrorism, or are they even allowed to do that in the schools today?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, yes, they do have trouble finding the words, and that's this is the tool for grown-ups to use to, you know, I give a lot of answers to the most frequently asked questions and explain all the different things. If you say this, they'll take it like that and so on. This book is for kids 5 to 12. But what's so interesting is the schools. You know, it's one thing for the parents. They're sort of missing some of the words, or they don't want to scare their children. They want to be able to say it in the right way. But teachers are afraid of what to say because they're afraid that, you know, is this going to be approved by their principal or the people higher up? How much are they allowed to say? And the thing that was the most shocking and disturbing, you know, the attack in Manhattan near Ground Zero that just happened on Halloween?
Yes.
A principal of one of the schools, of the elementary school that was nearest to that attack, to the Halloween attack, you know, she was interviewed by the media, and she said she was talking about how she and her teachers are going to look for things in the kids to make sure to see if there are any signs of their having been upset or frightened and so on. And then she said, but we're not going to use the word terrorism. Really, lady? I mean, what are you going to say? This guy was drunk and he was driving the car erratically and ran into some pedestrians and bicyclists and a school bus of kids. I mean, you know, that's exactly the kind of thing that's the only good thing about that is she has given me a talking point. I've brought this out all over the place, how bad that is for a principal to be modeling that, because that's exactly the worst thing, because when kids have a principal or a teacher or a parent lying in some way, which they are obviously going to find out about because, you know, they went home that night and it was all over the television and the next night and so on. It's not like they're not going to hear that it was a terrorist. And meanwhile, you know, the school isn't telling them the truth. And so then that's even more frightening to kids than learning about terrorism, because what it's showing them is that the adults who they depend upon aren't telling them the truth, and you know, they can't rely on them to keep them safe if they're not going to tell them the truth.
Exactly, and kids are smart. I mean, they are not, you know, kids are very smart, very intuitive, and they don't like it when the adults don't tell them the truth, and it confuses them too. Is why aren't they telling me the truth? You know, that isn't, you know, that isn't what happened. That isn't the truth. You know, and kids want the truth. That's for darn sure. And so, what is the key thing that you think that children need to know about terrorism?
Well, you know, obviously, a lot depends upon their age and their psychological maturity. And I talk about how the children's book, that when grown-ups share the children's part of this book with a child, that they should decide based upon the child's age and maturity how much to talk about, how many pages to read at once. You know, it might be for some children you just go over 3 or 4 pages and let that settle in and talk about that. Or it might be, you know, you could read the whole book. But, you know, it's important to know that there are these people who want to get us to believe, just like the bully in the playground, want us to do things their way, want to intimidate us, frighten us, so that we'll do things their way and listen to them and let them be the boss. And, I mean, you know, you can say it in simple words like that. But then, you know, the final part is, so what can you do about this? You know, well first of all, the first part is learning as much as possible that's, you know, in an age-appropriate way, understanding this, understanding that it's because these people were convinced by terrorists to do this, you know, as I said, misinterpreting the Quran to say that they should destroy us. And then I also have a part about domestic terrorists. I show a man inside a computer reaching out to like a teenage girl to try to convince her to, you know, of the things that he wants her to believe and to do and all of that. Of course, we have a problem, an increasing problem of teen girls being seduced by terrorist guys and going over to the Middle East to marry them because they look so romantic. you know, it's such a romantic tale, right? And then they get there and they find out the truth. So I cover all of that. And so the first part is demystifying it and letting them know the truth so that they know what they're dealing with. But the more it's all shrouded in whispers and, you know, no, we're not going to call the guy a terrorist, you know, he's when the kids know that that's what the media is calling them, then it just makes them confused, as you said, and more scared because they don't know what the truth is. And how can they prepare for something if they don't really know what it is? And then just going into sort of basics. I mean, one of the basics has to do with finding ways to make yourself feel less stressed out, you know, to do things like I talk about exercise, and that could be anything from walking the dog to PE in school to, you know, all kinds of things. So that's for grown-ups, too, sort of the basic thing, and it's something that we've all heard about, all these different kinds of things that you can do to have less stress, like aromatherapy candles or taking a walk or listening to certain kinds of relaxing music or things. But most of us don't really incorporate these things into our life. And now right. is a time when we absolutely have to do that.
Exactly. I'm an esthetician, so I definitely know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
De-stress, calm down. It's very important, you know, to calm the mind and the body and the spirit. And so have you thought about writing a book for teenagers and young adults, because like you said, a lot of them are either seduced or with their fantasies of, you know, this wonderful romantic life in the desert on a camel or whatever, and living in a cave with candlelight.
Right. Romantic candlelight.
And you know, there's another problem, too, Dr. Carol. We're talking to Dr. Carol Lieberman. She wrote a fantastic book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. And about a lot of young men are recruited in jails.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
American prisons. It's a huge problem.
Yes. And in, for that matter, in the UK, actually in other countries as well, I mean, they found that some of the people who committed the attacks, that's where they got radicalized. And, you know, when you think about it, it is the perfect setting because to be radicalized, because people who end up in prison are people who generally have had a troubled childhood for one reason or another, are disillusioned, are angry, they're not getting their part of the American dream that they feel entitled to. And so here they are, you know, all pissed off, and they're in jail, and, you know, they're sitting ducks for people who want to radicalize them and who promise them this better life, you know, if not on earth, then in heaven with the 72 virgins.
That none of them have experienced in this life.
Right. So, and imagine sitting in jail and thinking about 72 virgins.
Nothing else to do. So you said the magic word, though, entitled, and it reminds me of the NFL, which you were talking about, who make, you know, mega bucks out there to throw a ball around. And where else could they do that? I mean, where else in the world can they do this? So it amazes me that all of these young people, not all of them, but a lot of young people today do believe they are entitled. The terrorists come here and believe they're entitled to do whatever they want. And so then we have a government who says hush, hush over the Obama regime for 8 years and praise them, in fact, and apologize for the Americans.
Yes.
Which is amazing in itself, considering he was president of the USA, not the Middle East.
Yes.
And so you have this, all these people on entitlement programs and all these families, these generational families growing up in entitlement programs. Then you have all these migrants coming into our country who are ending up on entitlement programs. So I can see how easily it would be to recruit young people, because if they're all just on entitlement programs, not going to school, not working like we had to work hard to earn an allowance and to buy things we wanted, or at least, you know, our parents would make us, you know, save part of the money to buy whatever we wanted. It seems to me that if they're not going to school and they're not working and they're just believing that America is the land of milk and honey and they're all entitled, that this is another problem that is happening in this country, where it would be easier to recruit all these young people into this, like they recruit for gangs, you know. It's just a new type of gang, you know, a more dangerous type of gang.
Yes, you know, a lot of people growing up in fatherless homes and broken homes, and it is similar to gangs, you know, because they're looking for this sense of family, of belonging. And even if it's belonging to something that really is very dangerous and violent and all of that, it's giving them some sense of belonging that they don't have in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, to answer your question, that would be the next book. But right now I'm
we're concentrating on
working
lions
on this
and tigers
yes.
and terrorists. Oh, my. But, you know, because it is a certain age group, which I think is important to start as young as possible, which you are doing. I also think that it's important, too, to continue on if you think about it in the future, you know, because, you know, there's just like you said, there's so many latchkey kids in broken homes today that I think it's really important that we can reach as many kids as we can and try to keep them on track. And I really love what you've done. And, I mean, it's amazing to me that you have taken on this project, actually. And,
well, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And you say why you need this book is because terrorism is the latest fact of life that you need to talk about with your kids in order to keep them safe. I think safe is a really important word, is keeping the kids safe, whether they're at home or whether they're, with their friends or in the schools. they really do need to know what to do and how to feel safe that their parents, you know, will be there for them if they possibly can, you know. Because can you just imagine, you know, if there some of these people that have been caught up in these terrorist attacks, and just the feeling of the fear alone. I mean, I can't imagine it personally, because it would be so horrifying.
Well, you know, kids in general, young kids, I mean, it is such a different world, and it is, there are a lot of things to be frightened about, you know, more than there were 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, like from pedophiles to terrorists. You know, there are different illnesses. It is difficult for parents to protect children these days, you know, in general. And, you know, and that's why, I mean, I think that's part of why there's, you know, one of the things that I find so interesting and, of course, upsetting, and, you know, part of why I'm so driven to try to help families with this, is that since 9/11, I mean, everyone wants to think that, well, 9/11 happened in 2001, many years ago, and it's done. But it really isn't done. We are still suffering from 9/11, because the statistics where they've been measuring various things since 9/11 are staggering. Like, for example, one easy one to sort of recognize is the increase in obesity since then. Why is there more obesity? I mean, you could say part of it is because of the economy, well, at least since 2008, part of it is the economy and people don't have money for, you know, more expensive food and so on. But really, going back to 9/11, it has to do with eating comfort food. We have been stuffing ourselves with comfort food since then. And other statistics like alcohol and drug abuse being greater since 9/11, and self-harm behaviors, you know, cutting behaviors, particularly in teenage girls, for example, all kinds of self-destructive sorts of behaviors have increased. Suicide has increased. I mean, all of these things are, insomnia has increased. All of these things can be traced back to, if you want to call it PTSD, you know, it's a kind of, I call it like a sort of a cousin to PTSD. You know, it's, these things have had an unconscious effect on us that has been lasting. And that, you know, even for kids who weren't born yet in 9/11, you know, they've been affected by their parents, who, like, you know, again, you can see it easily with the comfort food. If parents are stuffing themselves with comfort food, then it's certainly they influence their kids to do that. So there really has been a big change, and we are still being influenced in negative ways by what happened on 9/11. You know, not... it's not something that is over and that has not left a mark on us. It really has.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And, I mean, I have even awakened at night sometimes thinking about what's wrong with their government. Why can't they secure our borders? Why can't they? Why aren't they following legal immigration and assimilation to be a citizen of the USA?
Mm-hmm.
And which has always been the requirement. You know, if you want to be here, you want to become an American, you have to pledge allegiance to our country, not to foreign ideologies and bring tyrannical laws to our country. You're coming to our country. We're not going to your country. If we wanted tyrannical laws, we'd go to your country.
Right.
It's quite simple to me. So I'm like, I mean, you know, it does. I mean, it does affect us. And I think you're absolutely 100% correct. And I think it's on the minds of most Americans today. And we're all wondering, you know, thank God for President Trump, because we have a little hope here, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and it does make a difference. It does make a big difference, and you know, and so I'm just I'm just so happy that you came on our show, Colombo Chronicles, and talked about this issue for children, because if it's affecting adults, it has to be affecting the children. And again, you know, I just can't thank you enough for writing Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My. And unfortunately, we've run out of time, but now it's your time to shine, Dr. Carol. And
can I give
out
to
our audience? Oh, well, you get to tell our audience now any message you like and any information how to contact you and your book.
Right. If they would like more information about me, they can go to terroristtherapist.com, and more information about the book in particular, or to they can go to terrorismforkids.com, terrorism4kids.com.
Terrorism for Kids. Fantastic. And did you want to give any message to the parents and the grandparents out there, or the teachers?
Yes. Even though, you know, you may, just like talking about the birds and the bees, you may feel awkward approaching this subject or knowing how to talk about it, or but it is absolutely vital. My book gives you the tools, explains all about, you know, what you should be looking for in your children, how you can get them to express their feelings to you, so that they don't turn into things that become, you know, psychological problems that need therapy. But it is, the answer is not pretending that terrorism doesn't exist. The answer is talking to them about it in a very comforting kind of way and giving them tools to build resilience.
Fantastic. Well, and one other thing. You are going to be a special speaker tomorrow night at the Christmas party at the Book Publicists of Southern California, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. I hope I hope we'll all be spared the fire so that we'll all be able to be there. It'll be a great group, and it should be a great party.
Yes, a fabulous party. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Carol, and I hope you'll come back in the future and let us know how your book is doing and how parents and teachers and grandparents are responding to it, and because it's going to be a long time subject, I'm afraid.
Yes, exactly. It isn't going away.
It isn't going away anytime soon. Thank
right.
you so much, and you have a wonderful evening.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Dr. Carol Lieberman has left the building. And again, you can go to www.terrorism4kids.com and www.terroristtherapist.com. And the name of the book, once more, is Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My. And it's a book every parent, every grandparent, and every teacher should get a copy and read and discuss with the children, because it is an important topic and it is on the minds, I would say, of most Americans. And on that note, let's see what's happening, if there's any update here about those fires in Los Angeles, in the Ventura area, scorched 90,000 acres right now. Please keep praying for everyone who are losing their homes, whose homes are threatened, including that smoke. It's toxic poison. And pray for everybody's safety. And, gosh, you know, it's just amazing what these winds can do and how it can spread these fires. But on that note, let's just take a little break, and I'll be back in a second.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.